word of the Lord from John chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Dear hearers in Christ, he is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. "I am the good shepherd," says Jesus, "and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." I don't think it usually works that way. A good shepherd knows how to handle sheep and knows how to protect sheep. He knows the right paths and pastures. He knows how they're going to behave, and he's going to protect them from wolves and other predators. But let's be serious. A shepherd is a human being, and a sheep is an animal. And a human being has a lot more value than an animal or a whole flock of them. Even in our world that has some treating pets like they are their children, or insisting that animals should have rights in court, it's still pretty clear that human beings have unique worth. I don't think anyone hires a shepherd and expects them to willingly die for the sheep. I'm sure that shepherds are supposed to protect the flock from predators, and I'm sure that a few shepherds have died in the line of duty. But no one hires a shepherd and says, "If the wolves show up tonight and have dinner, I expect them to eat you before the sheep." Who would take that job? And if it's out of order to expect a shepherd to throw himself into the mouth of a wolf to save the sheep, how much more unlikely is it to expect the Son of God to throw himself into the mouth of the grave to save sinners? He has a lot more worth than all sinners put together, and say what you want about sheep. They're not the brightest of animals, to be sure, and they wander off and do silly things that give a shepherd plenty of headaches. But they don't get together in the back of the flock and willingly conspire against the shepherd. They don't deny the shepherd's existence, intentionally break his laws, or try to have him killed. They're not smart, but they're not evil. In other words, while they don't have as much worth as a human being, they have a whole lot less malevolence. Just imagine finding a shepherd if sheep acted like hornets or vipers. "We'd like you to watch this flock, and they'll probably turn on you and kill you by the end of the day." Good luck finding a shepherd to take care of evil sheep. Yet the Holy Son of God becomes flesh to shepherd sinners. Sinners who arrange his death and see to it that he is nailed to a cross and put to death. Even then, though, he goes willingly. No one takes his life from him, but he lays it down of his own accord. Think of that. When the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, he's not dying for the innocent. It's the sheep who are doing the killing. Around Jerusalem and Judea, of course, sheep aren't known for killing. They're known especially for being killed. Flocks are kept outside of Jerusalem specifically for use as temple sacrifices. and at the big festivals like Passover, so much blood drains from the temple's altars into the brook Kidron that the water runs red for a while. So maybe when Jesus says that he's the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep, the people are thinking about all those sacrificial animals. Even then, apart from faith, his words don't make a whole lot of sense. Everybody knows that those sheep are killed to appease God's wrath. They're sacrificed in the place of sinners. If a shepherd walks into the temple, up to the altar, and says to the priests, "Kill me instead of the sheep," the priest would say, "That's not how it works. People don't die for sheep. Sheep die for people. That's why we're here." It is really quite unfathomable that the good shepherd comes to be the sacrifice. It would make a lot more sense if Jesus became flesh to be the guide, the instructor, the example. In fact, that's what many look for in Jesus, the shepherd who tells them how to be better sheep. It's almost a contractual arrangement. As long as Jesus' life hacks and handy advice make life better, then he's a good shepherd to follow. Of course, all sorts of people have good advice for how to live. If that's all you're looking for, you can find some decent stuff from Confucius, excerpts from the Quran, some social media influencers, or even the occasional fortune cookie. This is why people often confuse psychology with religion, because they're looking for plans and strategies to make this life better for as long as it lasts. They're often seeking self-help more than God's help, or else the assurance that they're okay just the way they are. And that's different. That's a lot different from Jesus, who comes and says, "You're not okay the way you are. In fact, you're the walking dead. But I can save you forever by dying in your place." Anyone but Jesus then turns out to be the hired hand. Others can provide guidance, but they can't provide redemption. It's a silly thought that sheep hire the shepherd as if they know what's best for them, but it happens all the time. When the sheep hire the hired hand, they follow him as long as they like him and see him helpful. Then they move on to another hired hand as long as he's helpful too. But no matter how helpful these hired hands might be for daily living, they are powerless against death. When that wolf appears, help with daily living doesn't translate into help for surviving dying. When the grave beckons the sheep, the hired hand can't help and stays behind. They are not the good shepherd who has already gone into the tomb and come back out again, because he has laid down his life for the sheep. They are not the good shepherd who tends his sheep in life, in death, and in resurrection. "I am the good shepherd," says Jesus. "The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." He doesn't just make his people lie down in green pastures or lead them beside still waters for a while. He walks them through the valley of the shadow of death and out the other side. Because for him, death is only a shadow and nothing more. Jesus lays down his life, he says, because he owns the sheep. They are his. For starters, they are created through him. He also sustains their life and provides them with all that they need each and every day. Without him, they would have no life or being, which is a pretty good claim of ownership on its own. But there's more. When they rebel against him, break his laws, and wish him dead, he doesn't disown them. Instead, he redeems them. He sheds his own blood so that they might not remain his enemies, but instead be his holy children, the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Again, it's remarkable. The shepherd creates the sheep, and the sheep rebel against the shepherd. Instead of abandoning them to the wolves, the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He allows himself to be abandoned unto death so that the sheep might have his life. If all of that isn't enough good news, Jesus goes on to say this: I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. This knowing, this bond, isn't because the sheep have turned the corner and improved, but because he has laid down his life for them. He knows them, sins, faults, failings, and all, and he makes them as dear to him as he is to his Father by cleansing them with his blood. He summons his sheep by his voice. He makes you his by his holy word. In our text, he says that his sheep listen to his voice. A little later in John 10, he will say, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." So the good shepherd has summoned you. He led you beside still waters, spoke his word, and so you were baptized. He still summons you to repentance and speaks his word of forgiveness. And by his word, he prepares a table for you while you are still surrounded by your enemies of sin, death, and devil. And the crucified and risen Savior gives you his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins, and with it, his victory over these foes. Risen again, he still speaks by his word, still voices his salvation to you. In doing so, he echoes himself from Psalm 95, so hear the assurance and the warning. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. He goes on to describe the Israelites, the flock that he shepherds out of Egypt and led toward the promised land. How many of them did not want to follow him, and so they did not enter into his rest. Sheep often consider the shepherd to be unfair because they do not recognize the danger. As we said before, the sheep are not the brightest of animals. The sheep that claims to follow the shepherd but willingly feeds itself to a wolf is no longer under the shepherd's care, and that is not the shepherd's fault. The sheep that claims to follow the shepherd but wanders down a different path is no longer following the shepherd because it has gone its own way. The sheep that no longer listens to the shepherd's voice or partakes of the shepherd's banquet is no longer part of the flock because it has starved itself. How foolish sheep can be. How foolish you and I can be. So turn once again and listen to the good shepherd's voice. Repent of your sin, close your ears to hired hands, and follow the one who has conquered even death for you. He has redeemed you, he knows you, and he continually calls you to be his own. He is the good shepherd. He has laid down his life for you, and he has taken it up again to give you life. And you will dwell in his house forever, because he is risen from the dead forever. Alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.